gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I turned right at Albuquerque, so I was a little late, but then I made it. Then left. Oh, you said turn left. I'm sorry. But I made it, and a good time was had by all.
Were you a little bit late?
No.
Okay, good.
It was a joke.
Oh, phew. Well, I'm like, you know, you were a little late for Madison, so happened before.
You just turned left at Pismo Beach.
Right, I turned left at Pismo Beach.
Okay.
That was my problem.
That's your problem.
I was confused.
That will put you in the ocean.
Yes, it will.
I was confused. All right, and a good time was had by all. I wore a crystal blue meth dress in honor of Albuquerque. Yeah. A lot of Breaking Bad.
All right.
Whatever happens there, stay
hey,
there.
Hey, bitches.
Carlos isn't here, so I had to.
Carlos Elsrocky was hilarious, so was John Eagle thing.
Good.
And I got some of their DNA on both of them on my dress backstage, and I'm keeping it forever. That's a Monica joke. Okay. Listen, what happens backstage at Sexy Liberal, you guys know.
I know.
Stays there.
Well, here's a lot of it happens on stage. There are some pictures of certain things.
Right. Well, you and I, you teabagging me got into the, it's the Arizona, it was made into the Arizona state flag from the Phoenix show.
Yes, it did.
Uh-huh. So there's something.
There was also some dry humping going on in Chicago, if I remember.
As I recall.
Recall. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, who can remember?
I don't know.
Okay, here's what I do remember. You know, I believe children of the future, particularly those raised by the Stephanie Miller show. As we've you know, Brennan the Dunk Truck Boy.
Uh-huh.
There's a dancing with the, you know, Walking on Sunshine girl.
Right.
And the very first one, I believe, was Audrey, the Charlie Rangel
impersonator.
The first
one was Fuller.
Who's Fuller? Oh,
Von Seal's daughter.
Right, the sullen, resentful teenager.
She's no longer sullen, nor resentful,
no,
nor a teenager.
No, we are part of the village.
She's
raised
none
Fuller.
Of the above.
Yes.
Right. However, actually, Audrey was, most kids will grow up, we have a nation of actually Jim Ward imitators. Because they actually imitating Jim Ward's Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel?
Right.
Charlie Rangel! It's that mimic again. He's going to get me in trouble.
That's Audrey. So guess who was at the show?
Audrey.
Who is now 14.
And we have pictures up at Stephanie Miller Facebook.
Yes, she could not be more adorable. Look at her there. There's our little Audrey.
Aww.
With Tyson, her dad. Steph, pics from Albuquerque, Sexy Liberal. Yeah, they're up at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook and
That's
also
right.
Sexy Liberal
and
Facebook.
And I tweeted out a link to it, too.
Oh, good. All right. Hi, Mama. Here are some pictures from the show. Thank you so much for coming back to us. We missed you. We missed you, too, Albuquerque. Audrey had a fun time and was hardly embarrassed at all. Yeah, I'm usually midway through something filthy in my routine when I was like, oh, there's a child in the front row.
Oh, nice.
Mommy, what's that lady doing?
I'll tell you in 10 years.
I simply mentioned that ironically
she's
because...
She's playing leapfrog.
Right.
Yeah. That's... Oh, boy.
No, we don't do the teabagging anymore.
No, she's spinning. That's spinning. That's what spinning
is.
Yeah.
Right. I simply mentioned that because of the new Benghazi... Well, as Jim calls it, Blowgazi. We have, you know, it's because the BJs and Benghazi are back. I simply said that, ironically, Trey Gowdy's hair, it looks like Bill Clinton and his hair. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's a little something about Mary. It's like it's like different in every picture. His
it
hair,
is.
Right?
Yeah. Some days he has bangs, even. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Maybe he gets a drive-by hairdressing from Marcus Bachman every day. No! Oh, that's not what I said to do.
No.
More like this. Okay. Oh, look. And there's Audrey with Carlos and with me. And there's Tyson, her dad.
Yeah.
Look at little Muppet. All right. So they're up. I'm just doing this for the people that don't have the Facebooks.
Even if you don't have Facebook, if you just go to the link I tweeted, you can still see it because it's not locked down to just Facebook people.
She's an adorable little Muppet. And I knew it was her because we're standing at the meet and greet and he goes, go ahead. Do it. She goes, hi, I'm Audrey. Oh, fresh. I ovulated, and these eggs have been dead for a long time. Very sweet.
Wow.
Very
that was a juicy one.
Yep.
Where'd that come from?
I have no idea.
All right, well, everybody's in a festive mood because, you know, it's time to Benghazi again, everybody.
Benghazi. It's Benghazi, it's never ending. And the right wing, it just keeps on spinning. It's all Benghazi.
few dozen hearings on this. I just thought they had to please themselves. Now they're raising money and there's got to be a special place in hell. My Benghazi coffee mug that I got for $50 said that I'm a lowlife and a slime. With Benghazi, it's never ending. It's making me dizzy. All the time that we're spending, we're sick of Benghazi.
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 They're using Benghazi.
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 Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Somebody named Teabagger tweeted me, Heritage Foundation is blaming the White House for politicizing Benghazi. I do not.
What?
Now I've heard it all.
Wow.
Yes. Heritage Foundation tweet. The White House chose to politicize the tragedy in Benghazi, and now they're facing the consequences.
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, what the hell?
He's delusional.
Really? Really?
Benghazi, 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 Benghazi. Why is the White House so obsessed with Benghazi, 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 Benghazi?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I found this one on the interwebs. In the last hour, more Americans died due to their governor blocking Medicaid expansion than died in Benghazi. Thank you. There's an interesting thought.
Is that Troy Gowdy who did that?
An opportunity for Hillary to laugh another pantsuit off. Really? With this guy? Are you kidding me now? All right. Hi. I'm Trey Gowdy.
I'm Trey Gowdy. And I think you don't need no Medicare expansion. Oh,
All right, I'm going to have that in my box, so I have to have that ready more.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my God. And then Donald Sterling talked again.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And presumably knew he was being recorded this time.
He did.
And Shelley Sterling.
Shelley Sterling.
Also had did an interview.
With Barbara Walters.
Oh, my God.
Shelley Sterling.
Yeah, each one of them went to a different news outlet.
Well, we, after the Vista Viano, so we will have an interview now. Shall we, Sterling? Are you guys... Let me see us away. I mean, this is some bull on my last
this
couple
is ridiculous.
Weeks.
No, this is her last week. She's done on Thursday.
This
Barbara Walters
is
done.
This is ridiculous in my last week.
Yeah.
You know, also somebody who else with a lot of ours is going to want to have an interview with her, and then she's going to know that we are messing with her.
Kim Jong-un?
Somebody with a lot of R's in their names is going to want to give their first big exclusive interview. It's going to be a big bombshell, and they're going to choose Barbara Walters. Well, wait. Okay. So, Donald Sterling said, what now? Balsik says, what now? He said, all right, here we go.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. Am I entitled to one mistake? Am I, after 35 years? I mean, I love my league. I love my partner. Am I entitled to one mistake? It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
He sounds so pathetic.
Pathetic, yeah. That's,
yikes. Oh, you God. I don't know. He talked to Anderson Cooper.
Yes,
right?
He did.
Oh, wait, here we go.
Do you have anyone you trust around you?
I don't give interviews. The only one that I know that I talk to is Magic Johnson.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
You have talked to him?
Twice. And then, he's...
Did you apologize?
He knew the girl, he said. He knew the girl well.
Did you apologize to him? Or?
Well, if I said anything wrong, I'm sorry. He's a good person, and he...
Oh, no.
Oh, wait for it.
What am I going to say? Has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so.
What?
But... I'll say it, you know, he's great. But I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
Oh, oh no.
And you are?
Oh no, stop talking. Oh God.
He needs to be in a facility of some kind.
Magic Johnson is the racist.
Yeah.
No, he has done everything he can to help black people? Magic Johnson? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, he said that. He also said he doesn't think he's a good example for the kids, and a lot of people were surmising online that that may be about his HIV status.
Oh, of course.
But he said I don't think he's done everything he can to help black people.
Help black people, yes.
What?
Oh my God! I can't wait a minute. I did not expect that. I didn't see that coming. Wow! I got to hear that again.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, Jim is right. He needs to be somewhere where you can hear the pretty birds.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Flowers and chirping birds.
Right. Somewhere. Soft walls.
We were just sitting, twiddle their thumbs and toes, and coming to take me away. Ha ha.
Well, Shelley Sterling, when she talked to Barbara Walters, surmised that she thinks her husband is in the early stages of dementia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he said that he didn't remember saying those things to V. Stiviano.
Oh, dear.
And so there could be
convenient.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy that, just to be honest. That seems like a hastily assembled excuse.
But it kind of sounds like...
But he's pretty convincing if he's faking it.
Listen, we all know people that, many of us, I have friends whose mother has a pretty serious dementia. I don't think you suddenly become a racist, even if you get dementia after however many years. I think that's a little... That's suspect.
Oh, especially if you've gone to court over racist things.
Right, if you have a lifetime record of that sort of thing. Okay, I got to hear this one more time.
Do you have anyone you trust around you?
I don't give interviews. The only one that I know that I talk to is Magic Johnson.
Oh, it's his only friend?
You have talked to him.
Twice.
Oh.
And then, he's...
Did you apologize?
He knew the girl, he said. He knew the girl well.
Did you apologize to him? Or?
Well... if I said anything wrong, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
He's a good person, and he... What am I going to say?
I don't know.
Has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so.
Oh, no.
But I'll say it. He's great.
Great.
But I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's someone that maybe shouldn't speak publicly or privately ever.
Or ever.
Wow. I did not think he could make it worse. He just did. That is, you know what? That takes some doing, Jim. If I said something that offended him, like, don't bring his black ass to the games, what did I say? Why is he so sensitive? I said you can feed him or whatever you want. Just don't bring him to
the
games.
That wasn't me. That was my Puka Harvey.
God.
But Harvey's a pooka.
All right. Wow.
We warm ourselves by
and
these golden moments. Yeah.
There's a lot more. Yikes. 18 minutes after the hour. Wow. Happy Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit at the bottom of the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters at the top of the hour, as per usual on Monday.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Wowee. So I had not... Look at this bounty of audio crunchy goodness that awaits me.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Sterling gave an interview to Anderson Cooper, and then Shelley Sterling gave an interview to Bobble Walters. Exactly. So she's saying that she's not going to give up her half of the team, right?
Right.
Oh, boy. As you said, she told Barbara Walters that her husband said he didn't remember saying the things that he said, which...
Who am I? Why am I here?
Look, I don't know the truth. All I'm saying is they seem like over a lifetime kind of co-collaborators and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you've read all the details, not just of the racial discrimination lawsuits, there's been a bunch of affairs before this, and then like the one woman broke up with him because she said he promised her a baby, and then Shelley Sterling ended up filing suit against her. This was before this one.
So Shelley Sterling, how does your husband feel about black people?
Okay, yes, here is Barbara Walters, and shall we start away?
What does the team mean to you?
It means a lot. I've been with the team for 33 years. through the good times and the bad times. And it's my passion, and I love it, and it's my legacy to my family.
Oh, boy. My legacy to your family.
Your legacy to your family.
All right. Here she is again.
I have never heard him say racial things.
That's a lot of dwivel.
I don't know. It was horrible when I heard it. I mean, it was just degrading, and it made me sick to hear it. But as far as a racist, I don't really think he is a racist.
Anybody buying what she's selling? Because I'm not. Yeah, because even since this has happened, she's had two different... Remember, I mean, at first she condemned it and said, oh, this is horrible.
No, I didn't.
And then she's like, oh, no, he's not a racist. And it just seems like they're all over the place with this stuff.
Yes, they are.
That seems cooked up to me. The, oh, I, you know, he doesn't remember, and oh, I've never... Really? Do you really think she's never heard him say anything racist? How many years have they been married?
You're saying he's not a racist? Or something.
Right, and in the racial discrimination suit, she was named, too. She used to go and pretend to be a health inspector or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There's video of that.
Yes. Okay, and they said there were a lot of the same charges made against her as against him in the in those suits.
Yep.
Donald Sterling.
This was on a another taped phone call.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know.
The girl's black. I like her. I'm jealous that she's with other black guys. I want her. So what the hell can I, in private, tell her? You know, I don't want you to be with anybody.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Grandpa, have some more applesauce.
Don't you think that if you were here at this point, your first question to someone might be, is there any chance at all that you may be recording this out of curiosity? He's... Or is he so out of it that they could have giant reel-to-reels behind them and he wouldn't?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Hang on. Like the old days in radio, right?
Yeah.
The giant.
Where you put the cart in and then pull the lever down. Shunk.
What was that? Huh? I don't...
What was that noise?
Wow. Wow. Uh-huh. I mean, what? Last week, weren't there two more and the one was with the imaginary best friend? Who now I guess we know is Magic Johnson, because he identifies him as the only friend or person he's talked to.
Whatever.
Anyway, I don't know who it was. Well, because last week seemed set up, right? It seemed like he was sort of, and then he leaked the tapes himself. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a whole mishigas. And mishpuka in one.
Yep.
With a lot of agita around the sides.
Yep. baked into one great big kugel.
Right? Don't you think? Wow. Yeah, now I'm confused. So this was actually an interview he gave, and then this tape was... What's this tape? Who released this last one?
I don't know. It happened at the end of last week.
So he's... Oh, I see. That's what his argument was, is the reason he was saying those things was because he was trying to get her in bed.
Yeah.
What?
He just wanted some tail.
Right, but why would saying really... Who does that make hot? Except for Ann Coulter. Who would that make hot? Like saying racist things. I don't get it. He said I was trying to get her in bed, so I'd say anything. I'm like, really?
Don't bring black guys to the games is sweet nothings to him?
Yeah, I don't. I got to hear that last one again. Let me one more time. So he's talking about V. Stiviano here.
Right.
Right?
Okay. The girl's black.
Okay.
I like her. I'm jealous that she's with other black guys. I want her. So what the hell can I, in private, tell her? You know, I don't want you to be with anybody.
Oh, this whole thing
wow,
is just
really sad.
Head rattle.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's not, I don't think, good news for the Clippers. It seems like they're going to be as litigious as, well, I know.
They
but
won
I mean,
last
it,
night.
It seems
yeah.
like the Sterlings are going to be as litigious as people say they are and drag them through this. I think it's, you know, it's time to let go, even though it is your family's legacy or whatever it is you just said. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I get drunk and party all night. I miss work half the time.
One morning I woke up naked with three Persians high-fiving each other on the way out of my bedroom.
Wow. I never get invited to those parties.
No?
I'm just writing you down the list. Hang on. There we go. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Monday.
It's Lee Pavitt, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning. Did you take any photos with black people in Albuquerque?
I did indeed. I did indeed.
That's an outrage.
Listen, I was already all over that. I was tweeting every picture ever taken of me with a black person at Donald Sterling the minute this story broke.
Wow.
Have you heard these latest interviews?
Yeah, but my favorite thing from all of them is that it was foreplay or something. It was like, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Ooh, now put on the Strom Thurmond mask. Yes.
Yeah. Now, you know you're going to have to be punished for taking a picture with a black person. Come over here.
Oh, yikes. Yikes. The whole thing is like, it makes me want to blow up recording devices forever. I'm like, I don't want to hear anymore. Stop talking.
Oh, Daddy, I've been bad with Magic Johnson. I don't care if you had sex with him, but if you took a picture with him.
That's exactly.
That's a spanking.
Yeah, right, exactly. You wrote a great piece, Pity the Bullied White Straight Conservative Christians. Yeah, there has been a meme with this, hasn't there, about, we're bullying the homophobes.
Right. That because we're not agreeing with them and letting them have all the power, they're being bullied.
Yeah. Well, we were saying, what was the latest one, Chris? The Benham Brothers, the HGTV, decided not to go forward with their show. It's like, hey, listen, you don't have an inalienable right to a TV show. If they feel like they're going to offend half their audience because of your thoughts on the gays,
right?
You and know, that's not bullying a Christian.
And it's HGTV. I mean, you know, it's Interior Decorator Central.
It is.
What do they think? That we're going to be cool watching these guys? They're relatively hot? I don't know. I guess they could have pitched it that way.
And I
Although they do have a little bit of gay face.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, I always love it when Michelle Bachmann decides to say something about the gays.
Yeah. Did she? Now, I didn't get to see her yesterday when she was talking, she was on one of the talk shows. She was on
State of the Union on CNN.
And I thought, why?
She got in a big fight with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We'll have that audio later on.
Oh, fabulous.
Sweet.
Anyway, I don't know why what you're implying, but whatever it is, she hates you and your ass face, if there's anything you're implying about Marcus. But my point
is... I just hate you, and I hate your ass face!
As you write, back in March, the GOP's soon-to-be-exiled idiot duchess, Michelle Bachmann, said, the thing that I'm getting a little tiresome is the gay community have so bullied the American people, and they've so intimidated politicians, the politicians fear them, and they think they get to dictate the agenda everywhere.
Marcus said, people fear me?
Oh,
yay!
Fabulous. That's super.
You know what I love about the oh, we're being bullied by the gays thing?
Right.
Not just the irony of, you know, people who were bullied, you know, incessantly and still are,
right,
you know, now becoming the bullies. But I love I don't think anybody on the left ever, or any politicians on the left ever say, oh, we're being bullied by the NRA.
Right.
Because you just sound like such a wimp. You sound like such a loser when you start doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you say, oh, gay bullies are everywhere, it seems, making the poor, poor homophobes feel bad. You said, in fact, some conservatives believe that anti-bullying programs are promoting the bullying of bullies by telling them to stop bullying.
I blame Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for pushing the gay, for making gay bullies have, he's the gay bully poster child. That's
right.
What he is. And the front cover of Rolling Stone this week is now the calling card of gay bullies. Look at my top hat covered dong.
Look at it, America. Get your face up in there. But you were saying, this is hilarious, because you said it has, you say Christians should be allowed to freely express themselves and vote to prevent certain groups from having rights, because otherwise you're bullying them. I mean, yeah, how is that bullying to say all people should have the same rights in America? And then you go on to say it's gone over to climate change. You said, S.E. Cupp said, isn't it a problem when science guys attempt to bully other people?
And you science say, guys.
So now the nerds and the queers are the bullies? Up is down, people. I mean, it's really true, right?
Right, and it's almost like they've thought this is the new tactic. You know, we're gonna make liberals into bullies. You know, and I come from, you know, a little older school politics here. I thought we were wimps.
Right.
You know, if we're bullies now,
wow.
You know, can I go kick some ass? You know, can I force
wow.
a white, straight, or, you know, ostensibly straight Christian conservative's face into the mud and say,
wow.
you know, say Judy Garland. Say Judy Garland.
All the geeks and freaks, we're now Biff from
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, we're going to yell at them and say, you know, Christian, and point at them. And, you know, it's just so...
But you have to listen to Sippy Cup because she's got smart girl glasses.
Right.
So you know
along
everything
with
she says is...
me boots.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but, you know...
She counters it with
right.
the smart girl glasses.
She's got like, you know, dim brain eyes, you know. You look at her and you see... You just, there's nothing going on.
She's like doll's
her.
Eyes.
Doll's eyes.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Doll's
doll
eyes.
Parts.
Yeah. I mean, she's like a devolved Ann Coulter.
She looks like a shark. Doll's eyes. All right. What to...
Leave this one. She's too bitey.
As Carlos says of Ann Coulter, she looks like something that they left behind on the island of Dr. Moreau. Leave her. She's too bitey.
You know, HD television is not being kind to Ann.
No, it's not.
No, not to be overly catty, but, you know, part of the reason why she was always on the air was a reason why, I don't know, she looks like all of the evil is beginning to finally contort her into some grotesque mask of herself.
She really should wear turtlenecks to cover up that Adam's apple.
It's too distracting. When she and Eric Cantor are on the same show together, it looks like an apple bobbing contest. Now, you quote Rusty Humphreys, which you are correct, does sound like a sexual position in Nebraska. However, he has...
What do you want to do tonight? I'd like to try a Rusty Humphreys. All right. Let me break out the tubing.
Oh, God!
Not as bad as a Dirty Sanchez, but
no.
Rusty Humphreys will do.
Rusty trombone.
All right.
What?
Listen, he writes a piece called Liberal Bully of the Week, and I love this. This week it's climate change con artists. Last week it was John Kerry. A couple weeks ago it was the Bureau of Land Management for trying to, you know, enforce the law against
right.
Gavin Bundy. So, yeah, everything up is down now, right?
Right, right. And I do love the climate change con artists are, you know, academics who are bullying people into being ashamed of productivity and prosperity,
and
making us feel frightened enough to accept more government control over our lives. And I'm just like, really? Where's the payoff for academics, you know?
Well, you said
those big NSA grants are...
As you say, they've also dragged the teachers into this. You said, according to conservative, teachers are bullying students if they point out that Reagan wasn't a demigod who never did anything
right.
bad. I mean, right?
Right. If you tell them that their beliefs are wrong and you can prove it factually, you're a bully.
Yep. Yep.
You know, or if you say, hey, you know what, you can keep your Christian beliefs in your pants and stop trying to put them in mine.
And what a beautiful segue to South Carolina, South Dakota Representative Steve Hickey. Seriously.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Bless him.
In other Rusty Humphrey and Dirty Trombone news.
You got that backwards, but
right. okay.
whatever.
Anyway. We mentioned this guy last week. Dude. He said, pardon a crude comparison, but regarding men with men, we're talking about a one-way alley meant only for the garbage truck to go down.
Yep.
Right, but that doesn't make sense, you know? Why does he have a truck in his ass?
Right. There's that.
And why is it one way? Why?
Is it the recycling truck?
Which one? Right.
Or the composting truck?
Right.
One would think compost.
Yeah.
Did he sodomize himself with a Tonka toy? I mean...
you also said, how can you not guffaw at the lack of self-awareness of someone who writes that some people who support gay rights think of those of us in the legislature should butt out?
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of his Facebook letter there.
Comedy gold.
I do love that he asked for the local paper to publish it, and they said, nah. And he said, all right, then, I'm putting it on Facebook.
Yep, and then he also went on to further try to help the analogy by saying it's men with men. It's the same as being cool with eight of your friends that you're in love with taking a dump in your bed, and then you can sleep in it all year long.
What?
Right, which is, dude, you don't bathe after sex for a year?
Wow.
And just the idea that, you know, that he is actually pictured eight friends coming over and squatting over his bed, you know, and taking a dump on it.
Yep. Wow. He needs a hobby of some kind.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What is it with conservatives and feces fantasies, you know? There's between this and David Vitter, you know, it's like...
Well, they're full of, you know...
Well,
exactly. They take, some of them take it literally. Wow.
Right, and but you know this idea that they want to be rolling around in it. I mean, is it a way to sort of literalize the way they take corporate money or something?
Yeah,
like
exactly,
that?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Rude, we are circling the bowl now, so it's time to say goodbye. It's time to flush and say goodbye. Till next week.
Wipe yourself off.
All right, love you. Bye bye. There he goes. Flush, everybody. Flush. Okay. Whew. All right. I need to.
Wow.
I'm a little winded from that segment. Yeah. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
How bizarre that he only had one hit.
He had two. He had a remake of I Love L.A.
Ah.
Huh. Thank you. All right. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The other big sports news, non-Clippers, is, of course, Michael Sam got drafted. The
How about them apples?
Openly gay man to be drafted by an NFL. I am shocked in a game with tight ends and wide receivers. Man puts his hands between another man's legs to grab a ball, but there would be someone openly gay.
There's a gay soccer player who plays for Galaxy, LA Galaxy.
Congratulations to the St. Louis Rams.
Yes, I choked up a little bit when I saw him crying and he kissed his boyfriend.
Yep.
I felt a bunch of nations of homophobes, like, you know, their sphincter snapshot.
Oh, yeah.
Like the sports guys, you could tell, were a little like, oh, yeah, we don't know what to say about that.
Like he shoved his tongue down his throat, for God's sakes. It was a kiss.
I know.
That couples give to each other when they're happy.
Right. Enlightened Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hey, Stephanie gang, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, I was traveling through New York, and I never heard of you, and I was scanning the station, and then I came across the Stephanie Miller Show. I said, well, I don't know who this person is, but I love what she's saying.
Oh, good.
And, you know, about the Michael Sam situation.
Yes.
I'm a little bit at odds with, you know, about the same-sex marriage, but I love what this guy is doing. This guy is an African-American. He's gay. And he said, I don't care what the world thinks. I'm going to stand up for who I am.
But wait a minute.
And
you don't,
it's a perfect...
You don't believe he should be able to get married?
No. I don't have any problem with him getting married to whoever he wants to get married to.
Okay.
You're just evolving on the issue.
Excuse me?
You're just evolving on the issue, you think?
No, I love the issue.
Oh.
See, here's the point, and it works out perfectly for him. Because he went to Missouri University. He was the SEC Defense Player of the Year.
Right.
St. Louis is about 4 hours away from where he went to school.
Right,
right.
Other than Jenna Mazzella, this guy has got more tweets than any player in the draft.
Yeah. I thought he went awfully low, though, didn't you? I mean, I really felt like for the Defensive Player of the Year to take that long,
he was
seven away from not being drafted at all.
He was expected to go on Saturday night, and he did. So.
Yeah, he went. There
well,
was a lot
well,
of... There,
okay.
There were a lot of tweets that. About why it was so late.
But it works out perfectly. He's going to St. Louis. And see, the thing is that with the tweet that he's gotten from his Twitter line,
his Twitter,
that's going
right.
to bring millions. That's going to bring a lot of fans to the game.
Right. I hope so. Yes. Also, if you went in the Twitter feed, as you can imagine... pretty disgusting homophobia. No, I was saying there was a lot of people tweeting, and friend, including our friend Chris Cluey, that I just think this is late. I don't think there's... I mean, for the Defensive Player of the Year in the toughest conference in college football to go that late, I think... And a lot of people were tweeting about that beforehand, going... And Chris Cluey tweeted afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, congratulations to the Rams for being the only team with the balls to do this, but he said that it's still a big thing that this took this long.
I mean, I you can't tell me there wasn't some homophobia in that. I mean, that whole thing about, oh, we had a bad, what's that thing called? Only Carlos talks sports, really, on our show, except for soccer and gym. But he's the combine. He had a bad combine. He had not as good a, whatever.
Combine?
Whatever the thing is they call it, the camp the pressure? That they do. No! It's not farm equipment. It's the camp that they do. And that's where they time them, you know, their speed. And
Natan, do you know anything about this?
No, he only speaks soccer.
Okay.
No. It's the, whatever, he had not the greatest, it's like a training camp they have that where they, you know, they have a certain time for the, I don't know how many yards it is. Someone help me here. Dear God, I'm drowning. I'm drowning in football. Anyway, and so they were saying he didn't have the best, but I'm just going, I've never even heard of that thing before in terms of the impact on the draft. And I'm just saying I've never heard of a defensive player of the year that's in the toughest conference in college football going that late. I mean, there were only 7 picks after him, and it would have been, and I'm just saying, I wasn't the only one that thought so. So there. A lot of people were tweeting about how late it was and that it was wrong.
I read reports about how he was expected to go on Saturday night, and that's what he did.
Well, crap is what I think it is.
That's what knowledgeable sports columnists were saying.
DJ in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, DJ.
Hey, Stephanie. Love the show.
Thank you.
Just had a quick comment on the Michael Sam draft status and where he got picked up.
Yeah.
I think he got drafted pretty much where he was predicted to go based on the way he performed at the combine. I mean, he did.
Combine. See, combine, not a thresher. See, it's a combine, right?
Sure.
But can I just ask you something, DJ, as someone that doesn't follow sports, obviously? I've never even heard of the combine before this Michael Sam thing. Is it always that big a thing in the draft? Doesn't it have a lot to do with how they perform their whole college career?
Not necessarily, but, yeah, the combine is where the NFL coaches have asked to see certain players perform certain drills, and that's what they do it in Indianapolis every year.
Right. No, I know they do it every year. I'm just saying I've never heard it talked about as being such a big factor before this year with Michael Sam.
No, it's talked about every year.
Yeah. Right, you just don't pay attention.
No, but DJ, what I'm saying is...
You don't pay attention to it. Now, this year, but what you had a particular interest.
No, I got it. But my point is, you know, look, we've all played sports to some degree, I suppose. It's like, wouldn't it matter, like, what your record is over 4 years? Anyone can have an off combine, right? I mean, that's like
an off day. Yep,
yeah,
I agree with
right.
you. And that's why they have individual workout after the combine too, and he performed pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
So I mean, I agree with you that yeah, he was the defensive player of the year or co-defensive player of the year in the SEC. But there's been instances where guys have been defensive player of the year for all of college uh-huh. football, not just their conference, but all of college football, and they didn't get drafted.
Yeah.
I heard this was at Northwestern was defensive player of the year, and he didn't get drafted.
Right, but I guess, DJ, what I was saying is, what I read, at least in the sports thing, you know, yesterday, is that this is the longest that, you know, for a defensive player of the year that it's ever taken in, like, many, many years. I mean, they were just saying it was unusual.
Okay.
Well, here, let me put it this way. It's like if you have all straight A's throughout high school,
right.
but then you have a really crappy SAT
score. But that's what I'm saying. They take in all of it. They take into right, account your high school record
right.
or your
But the really crappy SAT score right. is going to shove
but
you down
only,
further.
Right, but it's only one thing is all I'm saying.
But it's one great big right. huge weighted thing.
I'm saying it's
thing.
Not easy to be named defensive player
right.
of the year in the toughest conference.
But a bad
football.
Combine is heavily weighted.
Well, not as bad as a bad thresher.
Look at me talking like I know what I'm talking about.
Don't. If you have a bad silo, forget it. Tom in Philly, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to tell you real quick that he was projected to go in the third round. The day after he came out, he got dropped to the sixth round. So tell me that didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, exactly. You know, it's like, didn't Tom, we had this whole argument about Chris Cluey. It's like, you know, I know everybody can argue this and that, but, you know, he also had an amazing lifetime record as a punter. You know, and so you can't tell me that his outspokenness didn't have something about gay rights, didn't have something to do with it, with them dropping him, right?
I'm sure it did. And let me tell you, I'm a 55-year-old heterosexual male. My wife and I cried like a baby when we watched his reaction on the Internet.
Yeah.
I know. No, me too. I that's what I thought. I thought, is this just a really touching human moment, or are there going to be, you know, people with that same, boys kissing?
There was both.
Reaction. Yeah, I guess there was. I guess there was. Didn't somebody that was a Miami Dolphin that did a...
And he was suspended and fined and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just did a... What did he say? Just, oh my God, horrible or something.
Yeah, like, OMG, I can't believe this is happening. And then he got a bunch of angry tweets directed towards him, and then he told people to read their Bible.
All right, right back with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Stephanie Miller Show, Facebook, Sexy Liberal, Facebook. Lots of great pictures from Albuquerque Saturday night. We love you, Albuquerque. What a show. What a time was had by all, including Kim, Albuquerque love letter. Dear Steph, John, Carlos, thanks so much for making me laugh last night here in Albuquerque. It was my first, hopefully not my last. My life sucks. Having you in it makes it a lot less sucky. Love you lots, Kim. I feel the same way. My life sucks, except my listeners make it better. People came from all over the place. It was so touching. It was unbelievable. There are people there from all over the country. I was, I really was.
Did you meet any Santa Fajans?
From Denver, City by the Bay.
Santa Fajans?
Pardon me?
Did you meet
Santa Fajans?
Any Taujans?
I don't know. All right. The important thing is it's Monday. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You know what? I could not live without your tweets. I could not survive yet another Benghazi hearing. Or trial, as Trey Gowdy called it at one point.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops.
That's a trial.
Yeah, sure it is, Gomer. But you said maybe Fox is right. Maybe the kidnapped girls are like Benghazi. In both cases, Fox is giving terrorists a pass in order to attack Obama and Clinton. Yeah, I noticed that. They don't say anything bad about the actual terrorists that, kill or kidnap people.
No, they just go after Hillary and they go after Obama. I mean, it really does, you know, not only does it obliterate this idea that partisan politics ends at the water's edge, it obliterates the idea that you have to have sort of any sort of common sense approach to these things. So we have this awful story unfolding in Nigeria, and first the immediate reaction was to blame Hillary Clinton because the State Department, while she was there, did not categorize this group as a terrorist organization. And there's an interesting debate about why they did that, why Nigerian experts didn't think it was a good idea. Et cetera, et cetera. George Bush's former ambassador to Nigeria over the weekend was on Fox saying the criticism of Hillary on this was unfounded and people didn't really understand the situation. So immediately it was attack Hillary Clinton. It's not attack the terrorists, not attack these, you know, these mindless people who were abducting these
girls. And
you immediately attacked Hillary. And now they're making fun of the Obama White House for trying to raise awareness of the issue, and they're making fun of Michelle Obama. And they were literally laughing about this on Fox over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, again...
Well, Eric, I think you and I both know better that she could not have been behind the Nigerian plot. She was too busy forcing her child to procreate so that she could have a grandbaby prop for 2016. I mean, it really is incredible, but you think it's a joke sometimes when they say, oh, they blame Hillary. You're like, oh, no, Fox is blaming Hillary, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, and so they do it all automatically, and they do it without thinking. And so, you know, it's a combination. This is a combination of Obama derangement syndrome and now the reemergence of Clinton derangement syndrome, and you add the two together, and it's a toxic stew.
Yeah,
and we're seeing that with Benghazi. And again, your original point was, I mean, of the thousands of hours that Fox News has dedicated to Benghazi over the last 20 months, I would say maybe half of 1%, maybe 22 minutes of those thousands of hours would be to condemn the people who actually did this.
Yeah.
The rest
of
it is just an orgy of Democratic bashing.
Right, and as you tweeted, what better way to honor four murdered Americans than marketing congressional hearing like it's WrestleMania? I mean, it's
I mean, it really is disgusting. But, you know, you wrote a great piece from Vince Foster to Benghazi, how Fox News has mainstreamed the fringe. Just a really important point, you say, is the latest wave of Benghazi fever grips the willing Republican Party as the far-right media apparatus stokes the fervor. It's impossible to ignore the similarities between the all-scandal strategy that's being adopted by critics of Obama and the same all-scandal wedge that was used unsuccessfully against Bill Clinton. And it really is true, and here we go again.
Here we go again, and the point I was making is because there was some chatter about Vince Foster, and there was a piece in Politico suggesting you know, Benghazi is going to be to Hillary in 2016 what Vince Foster was to her, you know, her persona in the 90s, and that it was this, you know, overheated, you know, right-wing attack and things like that. And that analogy makes sense to a point, but the point I wanted to make was you have to look at how the media landscape has changed. You have to look at who, if you go back to the Clinton scandal years and you look specifically at Vince Foster, that was pushed by people who had pamphlets, people who were selling at-home videos.
Yeah.
Basically Rush Limbaugh on the Wall Street Journal editorial page. There wasn't a national television station that dedicated itself to this notion that the Clintons had their former deputy chief counsel murdered. And with Benghazi today, you obviously have this Fox News dedicating it. And so what was interesting, one other point was, you know, in 8 years, I went back and looked. The New York Times basically published like 30 articles about Vince Foster and the controversy surrounding his death. In the last 18 months, they have published almost 300 articles and columns about Benghazi. So when you have a Fox News, when you have television, which is the all-important pinnacle of any noise machine, you got television pushing a Clinton scandal story in a way that television did not exist.
Right.
They didn't have that outlet in the 90s, and that changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, you say Fox News is what has elevated Benghazi from a fringe-type scandal into the pressing issue adopted by the Republican Party today. And I remember this. You know, it's so funny you say Fox debuted in 1996. It launched into 17 million subscribers. Do you remember, Eric, I remember being on Bill O'Reilly in the very beginning. but you're right, they hadn't figured out their niche yet. He wasn't that crazy. They hadn't figured out what they were doing yet. I think they had just started, and I was like, what is this thing? Bill who? And
Right.
I remember I was hosting Equal Time on CNBC with Babe Buchanan, and I was like, all right, I'll go. But you're right, they hadn't sort of become this, you know, 24-hour outrage machine. I think they were finding their footing. And you're right, that is what they – I remember I was I remember this, the Clinton Chronicles. I mean, it was, and they were VCR tapes. Remember back in the day? But they were like this lunatic fringe kind of.
And the right-wing nutjobs used to gather around their fax machines, and the fax would come in about the Clinton Watch newsletter, and they would pass around worn copies of the Turner Diaries. I mean, it was all total fringe stuff.
Right.
In terms of, like, Waco and Vince Foster. Obviously, Whitewater, they were able to get the Congressional Institution to focus on that for years and years. But in terms of this idea that, oh, by the way, the Clintons killed Vince Foster, it didn't have that TV outlet. And the interesting part about Fox is you're right. If you go back even during the crazy impeachment years, which was when Fox first came on, they were basically a conservative version of the news. I mean, I think that's what Rupert Murdoch thought it was going to be. And it was a news organization, and they had some it was definitely a conservative spin, but the turning points were obviously the Florida recount. They went bonkers, moved to the right. Attacks of 9/11, they moved further to the right, and then, of course, the Iraq War. And then the fourth chapter is Obama derangement syndrome. But people do forget.
Oh, no, I remember getting my shiny, curly fax prep for my for Equal Time on CNBC, and it would be like, I don't want... Rush said what now? And Clinton Chronicles said what? I mean, it was crazy, right?
It was crazy.
Murder,
it was,
drug
and
running.
And it was not taken seriously by the mainstream Beltway press, which is also... that's a key difference today.
Yeah, I remember you were quoting Sean Hannity from then... I remember this. After suggesting Vince Foster was murdered, Hannity praised the caller who accused Clinton of multiple rapes. Yeah, I remember that. They would just say that as if that were fact, you know? Yeah.
Dark days.
Right. But you say that's what happens when televised propaganda is added to the media scandal mix. The megaphone's much bigger, louder, and many ways more dangerous. And I mean, I guess that's what would lead anyone to believe there's any there with Benghazi anymore, right?
Well, it's interesting. And I think the press, I think their main failure here is they're buying into this Republican talking point that ongoing hearings equals big problems for Hillary. Ongoing hearings are a disaster for Democrats. Ongoing hearings are going to be the collapse of Obama's second term. There's no evidence to support any of that. There's no evidence to support the voters care about this. There's no evidence to support that this is hurting Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. It just doesn't exist. But the press, just like the Clinton years, you know, you write, you know, Republican hearings on the Hill scandal, they automatically assume, you know, it's going to be crippling. And my gosh, you know, we went through 8 years of that with the Clintons, and we found out that wasn't true. I mean, Bill Clinton left office.
Yeah. No, I mean,
most popular president in American history.
Speaking of up is down, did you see the Heritage Foundation actually tweeted that the White House is politicizing Benghazi? I swear to God.
Look, I mean, this is, you know, it becomes Orwellian. We've always been at war with, you know.
Yeah, right.
Stays,
right.
Yeah.
Of course we have.
With
so,
war,
yeah,
with
of course. It's Orwellian. And, right, this is all, you know, the Obama White House is trying to look, you know, the most important part or element that came out over the weekend is you know, the Chairman Gowdy was on Fox News, and he said, this is the question I want to ask Hillary Clinton. Media Matters and now, you know, in the Washington Post this morning pointed out, oh, that question's been answered. It's been fact-checked. There's no question. So we have the first select committee created in U.S. history to answer questions that have already been answered.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you can't dwell on the facts, so it's just going to be nonstop spin about how, you know, Republican, you know, how the White House is politicizing this, et cetera, et cetera. And meanwhile, as we pointed out, you know, John Boehner last Friday, literally, it looked like a wrestling promotion poster they mm-hmm. put out. You know, here are the members of the Republican members of the Benghazi Select Committee.
Eric, can you
so disgusting.
Did you tweet? Are you? You said you're coming around to this position. Democrats don't boycott the Benghazi
yeah.
panel. You know, obviously, I talked to Mike Tomasky last week, who, you know, feels that they should. What is your feeling on it?
Well, because I think about the Dan Burton, and I think about what Elijah Cummings was able to do. I mean, the Democrats have sort of the strong tradition of both during the Clinton years and the Obama years of having these kangaroo courts and having, you know, whether it was Barney Frank did it during the Clinton years too, as having.
Well, Elijah Cummings did it when his microphone was on.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean,
but there's a tradition if you have that Democrat there and you have someone who's just not going to let, you know, the steamroller get out of control, it's a good counter. And it's a good, it shows the American people sort of what's really going on. All of these hearings, Republicans have never outwitted a Democrat when they're trying to create a non-existent scandal. And I think Democrats being there, highlighting the absurdity, they've always done a very good job of just deflating these balloons.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
Hillary didn't shoot Vince Foster, but I think she did shoot the deputy.
Yeah,
my spidey senses tell me that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm sure they'll cover that in these latest hearings. All right, Eric, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week, sir.
Okay, see you.
Okay, bye.
Captain Doppler.
I just think Elijah Cummings needs to take our advice and have a bullhorn ready.
Yeah.
So Daryl Issa does shut his mic off. He is prepared. I should do that, in fact, because you sometimes shut my mic off, don't you?
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's easy.
Right there. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to Farm Talk. Last hour we talked about threshers, and now we're going to go back to combines.
Yep.
No, silly. The football kind.
I have never heard of a combine until this morning,
me
actually.
Neither. Johnny nope. in Illinois, because that's what everybody's saying. Michael Sam didn't do well at the combine. That's why he was drafted lower. I said I thought there had to be something to do with homophobia because he was defensive player of the year. Hey, Johnny. Hi, Johnny. Hello, Johnny
in
Illinois. Oh, no.
Johnny. Or, oh, hello. All right, call back.
He participated.
Yeah, I guess. He must have played college ball. But you're hearing what now?
I'm hearing that the combine is really, really heavily weighted in the decision for a draft position.
Huh. Because I would think they would, you know, take your whole four-year college career over,
not necessarily.
Know, whatever. One is it a one-day thing, a combine? Who can say?
I don't know.
Look at me just stumbling around through sports. I have no clue.
But I, you know,
sports. I know that they do. It's speed. They do their 40-yard dashes or whatever. It's you know, where they test them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I liken it to an SAT test. SAT test has a lot of weight in a college
position.
Right,
but I don't know. Again, I don't know what degree it does with your whole. I would assume your whole high school record is more important. Just like I was thinking, your whole college football record would be more important. But what do I know? Clearly
so
nothing.
So in the combine, do they weight the mathematical over the verbal or the other way around?
I don't.
Hmm.
All right. I think, you know what? I think we ought to just, like, close the door on sports talk now for us. Because we're
kind of little, talking out our ass here.
All right. Sure. I'm just saying, being a new Twitter queen, I saw a lot, you know, a lot of people were tweeting about how late he was drafted.
Were they sports experts?
Some of them, yes. Like Chris Cluey and others were saying that there definitely was, you know, that it was a shame. And anyway. All right, here was a genius tweet. Someone named Michael Preston tweeted, how to explain a boy kissing a boy to your six-year-old? Because there was a lot of screeching in the Twitterverse when Michael Sam kissed his boyfriend. The boy likes that boy, so they kiss like mommy and daddy do. There, I did it for you. Ooh, that was complicated. Can we go back to cartoons now? All right, I spent entirely too much time watching a cat licking a banana over the weekend.
What is it, a fish-flavored banana?
Yeah, what is going on there?
So can I say people are weird? Because it was just odd-looking, let me just say. And another guy sent me a video when he goes to when he pees, he calls his dog in, and his dog comes and tries to drink it. And it was disgusting, and I don't know why people send me these things. I was like, what?
Huh?
I thought it was disgusting that my cat sits in my pants hammock when I'm sitting on the toilet.
No, that's no. People are doing some freaky at home is all I'm
all
saying.
Right.
Sending it to me. I don't know. The cat licking a banana was just wrong on every level, I felt. All right. And then once you go down the whole... somebody sent me the Great Pyrenees, the Swedish guy trying to give his Great Pyrenees a bath in the lake. Okay, stop sending me that, because then you go down... Then you have to keep clicking on new Great Pyrenees videos, and it's just a...
You don't have to.
Time suck.
You don't have to click on anything.
I do. For instance, someone sent this to me. If someone from the 1950s suddenly appeared today, what would be the most difficult thing to explain to them about life today? Answer, I possess a device in my pocket that is capable of accessing the entirety of information known to man. I use it to look at pictures of cats and get in arguments with strangers. And that is true. That's what time suck that is my life now. I'm getting in Twitter fights, and I'm viewing cat videos.
Have you started following Dana Loesch yet?
I have not. I need to
You
get
need
that.
To follow Dana Loesch and then trick her into a Twitter fight. Because she's a lot of fun to lose.
I am. Oh, wait. Johnny's back real quick. Okay, all right. Johnny, go ahead. Hello, Johnny.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just calling in to give some perspective on the whole combine situation. Yeah, the combine actually is a really big deal. It's a four-day televised event on all the major networks, all the major sporting parts of ABC, Fox, and
right.
NBC.
Johnny, can you hang on? We're at a hard break here. Just hang on, because I want to ask you some more about this. It's a four-day thing. Well, that changes everything. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I hope I look half as good as you when I give up.
Ay-vey. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Johnny in Chicago went through the combine. Johnny, you played college ball where? Hello?
This phone?
Yes, hi, Johnny. Where did you play college ball?
Oh, I played college ball at Oregon University, Joliet Junior College, and NIU.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So anyway, you went through the combine. So you said it's a four-day event, and they do use it heavily in the in draft selections.
Yeah, they do. It's actually a really big deal. What they're basically looking for is to see how athletic the the college football player is, because sometimes a football player's productivity is really based off of a team scheme. So they want to make sure that they're actually drafting athletes, because when you get to the NFL level, you're dealing with the best athletes in all of football. And so they want to make sure that you measure up.
Yeah, I would have thought that they'd have a lot of that information by the time somebody's finished with a 4-year career. Why do you have to go that through that in addition to it?
Well, college is very different than pro.
It's measurables. And the thing about it is, actually, you actually go to a combine. If you play football, you've been doing combines your whole life.
But what I'm saying is, don't they already have that information, like what someone's speed, time is in the 40 or all that stuff?
No, because it's not like they're measuring your 40 when you're playing football. It's something that you do during any off season for scouts. Because in college football, when we play college football, no one trains you for the 40. They're training you to play football.
Did you think Michael Sam was drafted where he should have been, or did you feel like it was low when it had anything to do with homophobia?
I think some of it did have to do with homophobia. I remember when he came out, when they was talking about him in the draft, he was a fourth round pick. Then he came out and it was mixed. There were a lot of people that were in support of him. He actually got a Nike deal for coming out, and so it was mixed.
Yeah,
so
all right, honey.
That's
kind of what I got. I'm sorry, honey, you have a bad phone. Mm-hmm. Here's the good news. Michael Sam jerseys are the number 2 seller among all NFL rookies. How about that there? Why?
Huh.
The gays can be good business. Who knew? Orders for his St. Louis Jams, Jams? The Rams. They're the Rams.
The Jams?
St. Louis Jams? Really?
We're the second highest of any NFL rookie drafted this weekend, which is, I guess, a big deal. According to the NFL, the top 5 rankings as of Monday morning include 3 quarterbacks, the number 1 pick in the whole draft, and Michael Sam. He's number 2 behind Johnny Manziel, Cleveland Browns. The spokesperson said, excuse me, this is unprecedented for a day 3 pick, let alone a 7th round pick. To crack the top 5 rookies sold following the draft weekend. Compounding that is the fact that his jersey was not available for sale until Saturday evening, until after he was picked. The jerseys of the other players had been available since Thursday, allowing 48 hours more of sales. So, good for him. Don't mind me.
Is it all that meth you smoked this weekend?
Yes, it is the meth I smoked in Albuquerque. Mm. And also, I flew a new airline, Coffee Toddler Airlines. I sometimes fly, as you know, Screaming Baby,
right.
Chatty Toddler.
Yep.
This one, I swear to God, the coffiest toddler I've ever, like, one seat over. Just, I'm like, really? Really?
I'm having horrible allergies today, so you're probably telling my voice.
It was like the toddler had swallowed a cat that was coughing up a hairball. That's how coffee it was. Jim in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Stephanie. Thank you for keeping my conservative mind a little closer to reality than when I listen to the other shows and get lost in.
Thank you.
I do like to listen to both sides. And I will say,
you do.
Even though he is the college player of the year, the NFL is a different game, and he's one of those in-between sizes.
Yeah, he's small so for right.
It's tough to take a chance, especially, you know, let's face it, there's going to be a lot more media that's not just NFL wanting to talk to whoever drafts him. But I think the Rams did a good job. They made a football decision and they took him. And a little perspective, Tom Brady, a lot would argue, is probably the best quarterback playing right now. He wasn't taken until like the 5th or 6th round. So I think he's one of those players that once he gets young.
Yeah, Jim, I hear you, but
he really can be able to play.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
I don't need to be patronizingly told by you or Chris that it's a different game in the pros. I get that. But my point is, it's different in the pros.
Somebody's
get that.
A little sensitive.
The point is, it is unusual, isn't it, for the defensive player of the year in the toughest conference in college? I mean, because, you know, you can say this and that and his size, but it's not easy, right, to become defensive player of the year in the toughest conference in college football?
Well, if it was easy, I wouldn't dig ditches for a living, and I'd play football. So, no, I would say it's probably like the hardest thing on the planet to do as far as being an athlete.
Right.
I would say a lot of people stayed away. I would say the poorer teams that had the better picks probably were afraid to take a chance. But
right.
I'm just glad to see. I mean, I have a son who is, let's just say he's sexually ambiguous at this point.
Okay.
And it opens your eyes to a lot of things that you just ignored. So I'm glad to see. I think the older people that have a problem are getting a little too old and moving on, and the younger generation
are
coming up not seeing those barriers.
Right. Well, good for the Rams and good for Michael Sam.
Maybe I'm just a ridiculous optimist.
All right.
You know.
Well, good for your ambiguous son. We wish you all luck. All right. Thank you, honey.
All right.
All right. Goodbye.
Walking around like Magic Johnson's son.
I'm not defensive. Everyone was defensive. Shut up.
I was being defensive about the defensive end. I was saying there was a little tiny bit. I get it. When guys talk to chicks, it doesn't matter. Just, there.
Yeah, but this is me talking to you.
The pros are different.
No, but actually, Chris and Yankton,
my time in the 40 would be like, I don't know, like an hour. Very brittle hips.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris and Yankton says, he says, it has something to do with NFL teams drafting players who have spent their college careers at a variety of schools that ran very different offensive and defensive systems than an NFL team would run. Yeah, so there are different systems of running offense and defense, and these teams want to know if they can play these teams' particular brand of offense and defense.
College players are very defensive, is what you're saying.
Right.
And offensive.
Right.
I'm not defensive. Shut up. You're the one who's defensive.
Now I'm going to need you to go ahead and go down to storage room,
baby,
make me a sandwich, because you're a chick.
We got some
new
people.
I'm going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No, I need to feel that I could have
new people coming in.
All right. Bill in Albany.
I told I could keep my stapler.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Bill the Courier, by the way, the official one of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Indeed.
And the what I must tell you is I've been a Rams fan since the 60s. I bleed blue and gold. This team here is the perfect place for Michael Sam to land. Jeff Fisher, the coach, he doesn't take any BS. I watched his press conference after day three, and he basically says, look, you put the tape on, this guy's a football player.
That's right.
Does he have the, he's a football player. He's good. He's a good football player. He's got that little bit of tweener in him, meaning that he's not quite big enough to be a DN. He's not quite quick enough to be a linebacker. So he's got that. But they said they're going to use him as a designated pass rusher. Okay, that's something that the Rams do. They rotate their defensive linemen a lot. They had nine of them last year. They got eight now. They carried five defensive ends last year for quite a few games.
Mm-hmm.
They only have four now. They may very well carry them. And if he gets in camp and he starts getting to the quarterback, he starts beating the guy. He's got great heavy hands. I watched a lot of tape on him last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got what they call heavy hands, meaning that he's like he can do kung fu on these people. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
He's got the good fast move with the hand.
Awesome.
There's one other thing. He's got heart. He's got a motor.
Yep.
And that's the thing that I think is the one thing you can't quantify in football.
That's right. No, listen. I saw Rudy, and we've had Sean. What?
Aston.
Call into the show. I understand about heart.
Life is not a movie.
And he's got heavy hands, as they say in the half of whatever that guy said. I don't know. He was talking guy.
Yeah.
Something who's not just football. It was guy football.
Rocky Mountain Mike just tweeted, I'm tuned into Sports Center on the Stephanie Miller Show, where they talk the sportsiest sports about the sports thing that sports guy sported. Hashtag sports next.
Hey, sports team.
Yeah, this is really off.
People are, yeah, right. They're waiting for me to say another hip-hop news.
Oh, boy.
In hip-hop news, Dave in Minneapolis. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Mama. How are you?
How was your wedding? You just got married Saturday.
I got married on
Mazel
Saturday.
Tov.
It was, and even our crappy weather decided to be wonderful, Augustus. It was marvelous.
Fabulous.
And there were people, there was, well, a person, Peggy, who's in the chat room, who's a listener, who was actually at the wedding.
Aww.
And I got cards from Stephanie Miller people at the wedding.
Fabulous.
But I wanted to know that...
We'll have the reception June 7th for Sexy Liberal Minneapolis. How's that?
That sounds marvelous. I would love to have that happen.
Fabulous.
I wanted to tell you, too, that my that we had a moment of silence and everyone bowed their head at the point when you would have walked up the aisle as the flower girl.
Thank you.
And we dropped withered flowers instead of the rose petals because you weren't there.
to symbolize all of my withered dreams.
Oh, now, would you stop that? Oh. Yes, we did because of your withered dreams.
All right,
but
thank you.
It was a lovely day. I feel so happy. And, you know, I got just quickly, if I could wax serious here for a moment,
yes.
It's just nice to know that you and the MOOCs and everyone create kind of a community of love and excitement and belief and hope and so forth. And that part of that group got to be there for our big day. So thank
Aww.
You.
And what a day that but Michael Sam got drafted and kissed his boyfriend on national TV. It is the whole world moved forward on Saturday, right?
Yes, and a bearded drag queen won a contest for music in Europe.
I saw that. I saw that.
This has just been the greatest scene. I think it's all because we got married this weekend.
I think
it was
it is.
Like this kind of ray went out, like your former gay ray. This he went out.
There you go. It got hit everybody. All right, Dave. Congratulations, Mazel Tov.
Yay.
Steve in Tulsa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, real quick. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Long time listener.
Thank you.
Never called before. Hello, MOOCs.
Hey.
Well, I'm not in Tulsa anymore, but hey, I'm still traveling down I-44.
Okay. It's all right. We got you on GPS.
I called about Michael Sam, and everybody kind of stole my thunder on that. I just think it had a lot to do with race there with homophobia. You know, he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, that's not a small accomplishment.
Yeah, I think people are being defensive about that people were not, it was not homophobic.
I'm not defensive about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're being defensive about it, clearly was.
And I also agree with the previous caller that he's probably in the best place that he could have landed.
Well, good.
St. Louis with the coaching staff there and also that they're not a major market, so.
Are you, more importantly, are you in a truck right now, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Could you blow your horn for the first gay NFL player? Openly gay?
Yeah!
Bam!
Nice.
Thank you, Steve. All right. It makes me happy. It makes me happy like mini ponies. Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is way out of hand, like I'm so sure. What do you mean? Check the guest list again, Mr. Bouncerhead and Muffle Man.
Stephanie Miller.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Ever. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800,
wow.
Step 1, 2,
is that the whole
number.
Song?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Pretty much.
Excuse me.
Okay. All right. It's a big gay day in America, ladies and gentlemen. I feel super. Not only Michael Sam, the first openly gay football player drafted in the NFL, Arkansas
mm-hmm.
issued their very first gay marriage licenses.
Wow.
That's right. A couple of hot chicks.
Hey. Hey,
Zion.
Yeah, a couple of hot chicks from Bill Clinton's home state.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right.
I think you need.
Hey, back when I said I was against gay marriage, I didn't mean the girls. Okay. So, by the by, it's not just a lot of sports people thought he was drafted too low. That's all I'm saying. He improved on his performances from the combine and subsequent workout after that. As the third day of the draft progressed, many following along on Twitter were worried that concerns about size or speed weren't the only things keeping him from being drafted earlier. Before he was selected in the seventh round, only one other SEC Defensive Player of the Year had failed to be selected by the 33rd overall selection. So,
so, in other words, he sports the heck
out
of that.
Do you have any idea what you just said?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
It was exactly what I said.
He sports the heck
earlier.
Out of that sports thing.
Well, he did, or he wouldn't have been Defensive Player of the Year. And that's why I'm being defensive.
No, you're not.
I'm just glad it happened, and I just want him to, and I think it's a good sign that he has, like, the number two most popular jersey already. I think people are embracing it. Meanwhile, that Miami Dolphin douche,
yep.
he got disciplined. Ha ha. He tweeted a horrible after Michael Sam mm-hmm. was drafted and kissed his boyfriend. He put, what did he say, just OMG and then horrible?
Yep.
and nobody's thinking of the children or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Dolphins coach said, we are disappointed to read Don's tweets during the NFL draft. They were inappropriate and unacceptable.
Disappointed!
Thank you. He was fined and suspended from all team activities until he completes educational training for his Twitter comments. Oh, by the way, now that I've been on the Twitter, a lot of people need some educational training on their Twitter comments. Okay.
Did you see that Donald Trump is decrying the double standard for Tim Tebow and Michael Sam? The media went after Tim Tebow, but they're praising Michael Sam.
Went after Tim Tebow for what now?
For being Christian.
Right. They didn't go after him for being Christian.
No, they did not.
Okay. All right. Tommy, send me the new picture of him in the wind. Okay. Let's go to Michael in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Michael. Hello, Michael. Michael in Maryland. Aww. And Ed in Arkansas. Hi, Ed. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you.
You're in Arkansas. Are you going to get gay married?
You know what? I just was going to ask a favor of everyone. I was in Alabama for Mother's Day. I'm driving home to get married in Arkansas. If everyone will keep their fingers crossed that I get there before they shut it down.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm hoping to be there about 3:30, and my partner of 26 years is going to meet me at the courthouse.
Oh, come on. Hey, let's go. Let's go, Leadfoot. Step on it. Let's go.
Get there.
And so, but as far as Michael Sam goes, I'm a huge college football fan, and I think this draft was kind of odd in that a lot of people who they expected to draft much higher went a lot lower. And a good example is A.J. McCarron, the winningest football quarterback at the University of Alabama, won two national championships back-to-back. And people thought he would go maybe in the third round. He was thinking he was going in the first or second. But as it turned out, he went only a handful of players ahead of Michael Sam. And, and also, you mentioned Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was expected to go within the first 10, and he actually ended up going 22. And many people thought he was the best football player in the draft. And by dropping from, say, 1, 2, or 3 to 22, it cost him about $10 million in signing bonus. And I'm sure some of the executives in the NFL didn't want Michael Sam, and I'm sure, you know, and some of them didn't choose him for that reason.
Well, you know, some people just say, oh, we don't want the controversy. Well, here's the controversy. Guess what? It's not controversial to be gay anymore, you know?
Exactly. And we can all thank Michael Sam for breaking that barrier. And I think the next guy that comes along will not be an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
But I really think that he was picked, and I'm so glad he was. So.
Yeah, I was actually struck even this weekend at Albuquerque Sexy Liberal that even in my lifetime it used to sound weird, even to me, when someone would go, oh, my husband or my wife, if they were same sex. And it has become so normal, hasn't it? I mean, nobody blinks an eye. This is my husband, this is my wife. You're just like, oh, hi, blah, blah, blah. You know?
It's
By the way, another sports-related news, Jim. Oscar Pistorius, the psychiatrist, said he has an anxiety disorder. Or maybe a crybaby disorder.
I have an anxiety disorder, my lady. I have constant anxiety.
I'm anxious about the fact, my lady, that I shot my girlfriend to death. I might go to prison. Anxiety disorder.
Whatever.
Okay, whatever. By the way, something else that just flashed on my screen. The Boko Haram guy looks exactly like Mr. T. Does that disturb anybody else? Not exactly certain. Not saying it is. Just looks just like him.
Not Boko Haram.
But by the way, there is an update with the Boko Haram story.
Yep.
They have released a video over the weekend that shows 200 of the girls. Allegedly, they are the girls.
Yeah.
They probably are the girls. And they're offering a swap of Boko Haram prisoners for the girls' release.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Chuck Hagel, by the way, was talking about this over the weekend, Secretary of Defense.
I think you look at everything, but there's no intention at this point to be putting any American boots on the ground.
Oh, yeah, and Michelle Obama got involved on Twitter. Yep. I saw that. We will talk about that and much more as we continue 58 minutes after the hour's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's
The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Sexy Liberal, Facebook, Stephanie Miller Show, Facebook. Some great pictures up from Albuquerque. We love you, Albuquerque.
Hooray.
A good time was had by all. Some great pictures up, including Audrey. She used to be formerly the child star known as Charlie Rangel impersonator.
Charlie Rangel.
She was there. She's 14 now and adorable. Such a love story. I really was touched. A love story. People came from all over the place. Some people disabled came in from like Denver and Alaska and all over the country. Just amazing, amazing night at the Popejoy Hall. Thank you, everybody. You can check out the new pictures. This one from Kendall from Des Moines, Iowa. Mama, Chris, Jim, wanted to thank you for being there every morning. Last November, 2 days before my fiance and I closed on our first house, the house we were renting burned down from an electrical fire and took our 5-year-old Beagle Lou and our two kitties, Samson and Tom, with it. I'm 25 years old, and there have been times since that day when I didn't know how to keep going. Then I would listen to your show, and you always were able to turn my frown upside down. Aww. Our new adopted puppy, Australian Shepherd named Boomer. There's a picture of Boomer. Boomer is handsome and romantic.
Bonza.
And our new house is finally starting to look like a home as we slowly replace everything we lost. I was even able to buy tickets to Sexy Liberal Minneapolis. I'm beyond excited to see you in real life. I'm not getting married till October, so feel free to make eyes at me. I'll make more than eyes.
Oh, boy.
What? If you're in the first 10 rows, you're fairly likely to get some of my DNA on you.
Uh-huh.
You know, a little lap dance something. Can't wait till June. Thank you so much. I love Kendall from Des Moines, Iowa. Coming to June 7th. Sexy Liberal, very exciting. All right. It was a beautiful thing Saturday night. We love seeing everybody there. Thank you. All right. speaking of which, we were talking about Michelle Obama. I'm sure Fox News will have something bad to say about this. She got active on Twitter with the hashtag Bring Home Our Girls this tragedy with the Nigerian girls.
They took her to task yesterday on Fox News Sunday.
Of course they did. Here she is.
In these girls, Barack and I see our own daughters. We see their hopes and their dreams. And we can only imagine the anguish their parents are feeling right now.
And that was controversial.
And what's
why on Fox
wrong
News?
With that? How was that?
What was that? What was wrong on Fox News with that?
Black. That it was patronizing.
Black.
Patronizing.
And it was just hashtag activism.
Right.
Oh,
Blacktivism.
God.
Okay. There have been reports that some of the girls have been forced into marriage with their abductors, and some have been carried across borders to Cameroon and Chad. As you were just saying, apparently they offered a trade of some of their, terrorist cell members for these girls. We'll see what happens with all that, but it really is heartbreaking. And we were talking about that. You don't need to be a parent to, you know.
Right.
Yeah, because I was saying that sometimes people have a little bit of that having procreated superiority. Like, we're all like, those girls. We don't have kids. What do we care? Just saying.
I wish Chad would change its name.
Really?
It makes me...
How do you feel about Cameroon?
Chad. It just makes me think my friend Chad is doing something bad.
All right. And Cameroon's too much like...
I have
like
a neighbor named Chad. I wonder if he's abducted any girls.
Cameroon, too much like macaroon for my taste.
Or
really.
Cameron.
Right? Exactly. Okay.
You know, that was Ferris Bueller's friend.
Exactly.
Was sick.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Michael in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm just getting frustrated hearing somebody calling saying he was too small. The future of football, like there were 5 receivers picked in the first round. The first running back didn't get picked until like the 5th round. The game is changing. They're spreading out. It's getting a whole lot of faster, and they're throwing the ball a lot more. And Sam's is what the future of linebackers are going to be, in that he's in between a defensive back like Sean Taylor, who was about 220 playing free safety, and a linebacker, and he can cover people. That's what,
right.
That was what he was going to be good, because he could cover people like Welker and play the run, but he's the future. That's what you're going to see more linebackers
light. They call it hybrid.
I mean, sometimes I know it makes a difference. Here, now you're going to see how old I am. Charlie White won the Heisman Trophy my freshman year at USC, and I always remember them saying that wasn't he a little too small to it? Because he didn't really make it big in the NFL, did he? I know Marcus Allen did, but yeah.
And see, Charlie White would be perfect in this era of football because he couldn't take the pounding because they were rushing running backs 35 times. But now running backs only get the ball like 18 times per game. And, you know,
got
it's
it.
So much
I got it.
To the receiver that's throwing the ball, and they got to have linebackers that can cover.
I got it. All right. I don't know how this turns into SportsCenter again, but it did.
I don't even know what a running back
does.
That
was a little USC flashback. I just remember Charlie White, the horse. Okay. This was a USC freshman year flashback. I'll be fine now. Woo. Okay, I'm back.
Pushing back, back.
No, that was different.
Oh.
We yelled the horse, and then Tommy Trojan came out on the horse. Jim knows.
Ah, okay. Right.
David in D.C.,
sure.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David. Hello,
Steph,
David.
Is this, is this Sirius XM Sports Radio?
Yes, now it is.
The Cowboys 3D charts? No? Okay.
We're just taking over every channel on Sirius XM now.
Steph, I'd like to be the official non-Charlie Pierce sports guy of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Okay,
please.
Thank you. Look, Jeff Fisher, I do cover football occasionally, and including the NFL, and Jeff Fisher, who's the Rams coach, is one of the really good guys in the NFL. I mean, he's an excellent coach. He's been coaching for 20 years. And, you know, he drafted Steve McNair out of Alcorn State, who played quarterback for them for many years. And took him to the Super Bowl. He's a very open-minded guy, a very fair guy. So this really is the best place Michael Sam could go. I mean, he's in a good spot. There,
yeah.
I think,
well, I'm just glad he's getting. He's getting a chance to play, and I hope he will. You know, he will prove them right. All right. Speaking of big shows, everybody, it's almost time for Benghazi to start again.
Benghazi. It's been frozen, it's never ending.
No.
And the right wing just keeps on spinning. It's all on Benghazi. First few dozen hearings on this, I just thought they had to please themselves. Now they're raising money and there's got to be a special place in hell.
Really hot.
Benghazi.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, boy. Charles Krauthammer is warning Republicans not to turn the House Committee on Benghazi into a political circus. With Trey Gowdy in charge, how could it possibly be? Saying these are dangerous waters for the party as it approaches 2014 midterms. He said Benghazi hearings can only distract from this at best and really wreck it at worst if they turn it into a partisan circus.
Turn it into?
Now a warning, Charles Krauthammer.
Now a warning.
So far from being a political advantage for Republicans, this is a very high-risk operation and requires someone like Trey Gowdy.
I'm not just a little bit Gowdy, I'm Trey Gowdy.
I love this part. He said Democrats that have called for even party representation on the committee are simply pulling a political stunt. See, like every other real investigation where there's like an equal number of... Now it's a stunt. He said it's a joke. It's a stunt. He said, Charles Trump. Whatever, Count Chocula. Debbie Wasserman Schultz versus Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, yeah.
There's a...
Ooh, wow.
Yikes. On a State of the Union.
The bottom line here is that the Republicans have clearly lost the ability, because we've had such a precipitous drop among Republicans even, in their fervor for repealing the Affordable Care Act, that they are clearly doing this to drive their turnout.
You know, Candy, that is not true
really,
at all.
Michelle, I didn't interrupt you. Excuse me. The Republicans are in the majority in the House of Representatives, so they can essentially do whatever they want. In creating the Select Committee, they have to, in order to make sure that the process is credible, which the way they've set it up, it's clearly not going to be and has an outcome that's been predetermined. They have to treat the minority
that's
fairly.
That's absolutely
right
not
now,
true. I think it's important.
We
I
don't
think
even
it's
have
that this
the
is
ability
a dialogue and not a
to
monologue. It's really clear that the Democrats have tried to sabotage this process from the very beginning. We shouldn't do that.
We don't have the ability to
when
sabotage.
We have unanswered questions about four people who've died.
Oh, dear God, what an idiot.
Oh, dear God.
Debbie could win that argument with her entire brain tied behind the back.
I'd have a battle of wits with you, Michelle. Yeah. You're out of ammunition already. Yeah. Jeez, yeah. Louise. Oh, boy.
Hey, and by the way, your husband's gay.
By the way, psst. I wonder if I were Debbie, see, that's why I don't get invited on those big shows like that, because I would have said that right before. 3, 2, your husband's a big gay. 1. And live with you, Pooh.
Can you hear the other people? In your, can you talk to the other people?
Oh, yeah.
Before?
I would totally do it. I would
really?
Be like, is my microphone working? Your husband's gay. Oh, hi. Are we on now? Okay, he's speaking of high.
I don't run my committees the way that the Democrats are fearful of. I want a process, Chris, that at the end of it, you are welcome to draw different conclusions from the facts. But I want everyone to say it was fair, it was exhaustive, and we know more than we did when it started.
We're no more than we did when we started.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
You like my hair.
You may not like the facts, but I'm going to win because I'm very gouty.
Oh, thank you, God, for Trey Gowdy.
He seems to be running on the assumption that there have been no other investigations of Benghazi ever that haven't
And more importantly,
anything.
What the... is up with his hair.
Well,
what
yeah.
is? I don't. I said, and it was rude, Saturday night, Sexy Liberal Albuquerque. It just, ironically, with Monica being back and Benghazi and everything, Hillary, it looks like Bill Clinton in his hair. I'm just saying, there's something about Mary sort of, in some pictures, like a pyramid kind of thing happening.
Yeah. Maybe went to Rand Paul's hairdresser.
Right. Can I use some of that hair gel? I don't know what's happening, but he is a doofus. Without just, there's, I
Well, I just hope that we can disagree on the facts. Benghazi.
I literally hear that music in my head, even when I just hear his name. Oh, God, Hillary laughed off yet another pantsuit.
Ha ha! Bill! Look at this stupid hair!
Okay, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the 70s porn music. Okay. Yeah.
Now just a wah-wah pedal.
Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. So speaking of...
yep.
Trey Gowdy. John Boehner. Named... Trey Gowdy saying he was charging the former federal prosecutor... He would make me giggle if he were prosecuting me and be like, whatever, Goofy.
Well, I caught you crossing the street on a red light. Yep, yep, I sure did. Yep.
Well, shazam. He has charged him with conducting a fair, thorough, and nonpartisan investigation. But just last month, Gowdy offered a revealing opinion on the importance of calling expert witnesses, one that suggests the fair and partisan, nonpartisan language may be all for show,
huh.
You think? He said, some of my colleagues on the other side, when they say we need another hearing or we can bring in experts, let me take out all the drama. We would pick three that said she waived. He's talking about the IRS thing. And they would pick one that said she didn't. I hate to do a spoiler, but that's the way that hearing would go. Oh, I see. But now it's important because you're running a little Benghazi show.
Garsh. My show. I do what I want. Yep. Garsh.
Fred, see? Trey Gowdy impression makes Fred scared. Let's go to Brian in Michigan. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
I made a couple comments on the Michael Sam thing. First one, he was co-defensive, you know, player that, you know, that conference, which is very impressive and all. But right. There have been, like, Heisman Trophy winners who haven't panned out at all in the pros.
Well, I said that. Charlie White won the Heisman my freshman year. I was at USC, and Marcus Allen won my senior year. As I recall, Marcus Allen made it in the NFL, and Charlie White didn't because he was too small, right?
Right. And that kind of leads to my second point, actually, if you let me. I think there may have been some homophobia dropped down a little bit and all, as he did. But I think some of it might be a different type that you make the thing. I mean, it's all, you know, homophobia. I understand it's all bigotry. But some teams may have been nervous to pick him up because they think if they cut him, they might be labeled as they cut him because he's gay. Now, guys get cut all the time. They don't make, you know, some guys in the pros don't make it. They may have a real great college career, but if they don't make it, the teams might be worried that if we have to cut him,
I suppose, yeah. I mean, look, this is all new for people, but, I'm just saying, I wasn't the only one that was saying this seemed really a low pick for somebody, you know, of those kind of credentials. But Anita in San Antonio. Hello, Anita.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Steph, I know you prefer talking about football.
Yes, of course I do.
But unfortunately, I have a question about the Benghazi witch hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you think about Democrats sending Alan Grayson?
Ooh, that would be a great, that would be a grand idea.
Yeah, I mean, he's so sharp.
I mean, if we're going to do it, I mean, you heard Eric Wohler disagreed with Michael Tomasky. He thinks we should have Democrats there. But I just wonder, like, how long do you lend any shred of credibility to this charade, to clearly this, as you say, political witch hunt?
Democrats know that they're right. So why are we, you know, why would we shirk from that?
Because this is how many, is it the 10th? What, I mean, I can't remember the number of House and Senate investigations we've already completed.
And with each hearing, I think people are getting more and more tired of the Republicans bringing up Benghazi.
Right.
And so this is just driving the Republicans' points, you know, approval points down.
Yeah.
The more they do it.
By the way, the minute I said Benghazi in Albuquerque Saturday night, the entire audience did the Benghazi. It is a national dial tone at this point. Mike in West Virginia. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning.
Good morning, baby.
I think this is kind of simple. Just get Michael Sam to tackle Trey Gowdy. That would be incredible.
Get it up, dude.
It might knock some sense into him. I also think, and I know, I love the way you guys talk about sports because it just cracks me up.
Isn't it cute? Isn't it? I don't know. Totes adorbs.
But I think one of the things that's missing, too, is Michael Sam has unusually long arms, which gives him leverage. And that's what the game is about now.
Well, that's what someone was saying, that the game has changed.
Fast.
Right.
He's strong and he's got long arms. He's going to play. He's going to make the team.
Yeah.
And the first time he de-cleats someone, I think both sides of the stadium will cheer.
Yeah.
So thank you guys.
Okay. All right. Thank you. By the way, the other reason I shouldn't go into the interwebs, because somebody said I have man hands in one of the pictures from Albuquerque.
He's got
long arms and man hands.
Yeah, don't read your comments, please.
All right. That's the only thing I took away. But then, in that sense, I do very well in the NFL as well. Larry in Albuquerque was there. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what a great show it was Saturday night.
Thank you, honey. Oh, wait, hang on. We're in a hard break. I didn't even see that coming. Look, see? I'm having a bad combine. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a goddess. Her skin glows. Her legs go for miles. And that ass? I would wear that thing for a hat.
I don't think you'd want to wear this thing for a hat.
No.
Unless there's shrapnel coming at you.
Larry in Albuquerque was at the big show Saturday night. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Go ahead.
It was a great show. And what a bargain those meet and greet tickets are. Oh, my God.
I copped a cheap feel off you, didn't I, probably?
It was thank you for not only meeting you personally, but having you rub your youthful, supple, naughty bits up against.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're very, very welcome. All right. Thanks for coming, honey. We appreciate it. So, are you okay, Coffee McCofferson?
I'm fine. I told you I have a river of snot going through my head.
Ew.
It's very
sexyliberal.com.
It's very
sexy liberal
here.
Facebook for pictures of all the rubbing and dubbing and meeting and greeting and
whatever.
And also the flavin. All right. Wow. Looky here. So, you know that representative Mike Rogers?
Yeah.
He's getting his own talk radio show.
Huh.
He said he wants to be a productive conservative on the radio.
That's
who fosters a smart debate. How long do you give it, Chris? How long do you give it? How long do you give that show?
30 seconds.
Yeah. Never done. Oh, he actually said, I do foresee myself back in the government service in some capacity in the future. Yeah, so do I, as soon as your radio show comes. Because you've never done radio.
Yeah, as soon as your radio show takes.
Can I just say, that is a sad testament to the state of the American airwaves. It's Randy Rhoads' last day Friday, who is the most talented person in radio, so that some other right-wing doofus can... that's never done radio for 2 seconds in his life can get another show.
Like Troy Gowdy.
How can the Troy Gowdy show be far behind?
Yeah, you garsh, yeah.
Any right-wing doofus in America can get a radio show, I'm just saying. Can you imagine if you had a radio 1 second in your life? No. Well, come on down. Here's 500 stations. Okay. You know
good
what?
Luck talking for 3 solid hours if you have no calls.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. By the by, Trey Gowdy, he does have a voice for radio, doesn't he? Let's hear some more Trey Gowdy, everybody.
I don't run my committees the way that the Democrats are fearful. I want a process, Chris, that at the end of it, you are welcome to draw different conclusions from the facts. But I want everyone to say it was fair, it was exhaustive, and we know more than we did when it started.
We know Benghazi.
Let's see, somebody, we have a bunch of, somebody forgets what they're doing every time you do the Gowdy voice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because it's their new favorite comedy binky. Oh, and hang on. Oh, and they thanked us for giving them that something about Mary visual of his hair, because that can get them through the latest Benghazi hearings. I lost my place here. I'll find it. All right. Jim, I guess a quote for you. Who said, I had not abandoned my trust in the Bush administration. Between the president's performance in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, the swift removal of the Taliban in Afghanistan, and the fact that I wanted the president to succeed because my loyalty is to my country, and he was the leader of my country, I still gave the administration the benefit of the doubt. I believed then that the president was entitled to have his national security judgment deferred to the extent that I was able to develop a definitive view. I accepted his judgment that American security really would be enhanced by the invasion of this sovereign country. Who said that?
Troy Gowdy. Yep.
Actually, it was Glenn Greenwald in his book, How Would a Patriot Act?
Glenn Greenwald is going to be with us on Friday.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that'll be awkward. Okay.
Why will that be awkward?
Not Glenn Greenwald.
Oh, Robert Greenwald.
Yes.
Did I get the Greenwalds mixed up?
Yes, you did.
Robert Greenwald.
You got Jim all excited.
Yeah, directed Xanadu.
All right.
We did.
Glenn Greenwald probably.
A lot of other great
I'm guessing Greenwald saw Xanadu probably several times.
Probably.
Dawn in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Mama. This is Dawn. He just said that.
Yes, but, I did.
I wanted to let you know you were talking about Benghazi, and I just seen yesterday on MSNBC that for fundraising they are selling things such as Benghazi shower curtains, baby onesies with Benghazi on it.
God. No,
and
come on.
All sorts of bizarre merchandise like that to raise money.
You heard
Victor,
who's
the
selling
Victory
those?
Elephant, maybe?
Yeah. Who is selling those? That?
The Republican. The Republican fundraiser. There's an internet site you can go on to buy all this stuff.
Dear God.
Wow. And I heard it on MSNBC. They were showing the difference.
Dear God. All right, we will check it. We'll Google that shizzle. Hey, would you like some fun facts about if you need a reason to vote in November? Here's just a few. Just, I don't know, if you still care about stuff like, you know, like issues and not like non-issues like Benghazi.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Women's income equality, voters for that, 90%.
Good.
Democrats, they're a yes on that. Republicans would be a no. Universal background checks, 86% of voters for that.
Good.
So are Democrats. Infrastructure spending, 72% of Americans for that.
Good.
By the way, Republicans are all no on these, just in case you're keeping track. Opposed SNAP cuts, 72%. Increased minimum wage, 71% for that. Women's right to choose, 70%. Extended unemployment, 69%. Closed tax loopholes, 67% of the American people are for that. Pathway to citizenship, 63%. Medicaid expansion, 62%. Public school funding, 62%. Same-sex marriage, 52%. Overturned Citizens United, 46%. Okay.
And yet somehow the Republicans are going to take over the Senate.
Huh. Not if we get up and vote. Do it. Let's go to Corky in Rochester. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't think they should boycott it. They should send only one guy there. Either Sherrod Brown from Ohio or Elijah Cummings. That's it. Just one guy.
Or Grayson, the one-man wrecking ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he should come in just like Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball.
Licking a sledgehammer.
I'm going to call him right now. Travis, get him on the phone.
I want him to lick a sledgehammer.
We've got a plan. And then point at Trey Gowdy with a giant styrofoam finger. Listen, you, sir, are running a show. What kind of show are you running here? He should do the whole Al Pacino act from what movie is that I'm thinking of? Right. No. Right. That whole monologue from Al Pacino. What movie am I thinking of? Somebody help Mama.
Scent of a Woman.
Oh, thank you, Natan. Scent of a Woman. Thank you. What kind of show are you running here? Right. Okay.
I love that.
Natan just talks like once a show. He always knows one thing that nobody else does.
That's
just
right.
Just little
what's Pelé's real name? Edson Arantes do Nascimento.
Okay, all right.
They're talking soccer again.
Who's that soccer player?
Pelé.
Okay, thanks, Natan.
And
thank you.
Speaking of sports,
who am I thinking?
Chris from Yankton says, in honor of this morning's sports talk with Stefan the Mooks, I offer the following taunt. The sports team from my area is superior to the sports team from your area.
Okay, thank you. By the way, Charlie Pierce says the Paul family 5-minute rule, and that is you can listen to any member of the Paul family for exactly 5 minutes and go, yes, 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 yes,
yep,
yes.
Right.
And exactly 5.01, you'll be like,
whoa, what the?
Are you out of your flipping mind?
He has been making a number of outreach efforts, as Republicans call it, about the brown people. And today he met with black pastors to discuss a variety of issues, including voting rights. After he came out of the meeting, he said the GOP needs to ease off strict voter ID laws because they're offending people.
Huh.
Yes.
Computer
really.
Says yes.
He says everyone has gone completely crazy on this voter ID thing.
Computer says yes.
Right. Adding that much of the bitterness in the debate over voting rights was wrapped up in race. He said, I think it's wrong for Republicans to go too crazy on this issue because it's offending people.
Computer says yes.
I just don't think black people should be able to sit at the same lunch.
Computer says no.
No. What? Oh, now you kept talking. What the hell did
he obviously
want?
Didn't talk to Black Santa.
What is it, Chris?
Buddy just wrote, Stephanie, didn't you do the entire SC football team when you were in college?
Just one of them.
Shouldn't you know your football?
One of them.
Really?
Really?
He was a walk-on, actually. And you know what?
How was his combine?
He posts. I don't know.
How about his thresher?
Yeah. How powerful was his combine?
All I remember is he had a broken leg for much of the time we...
How about his silo?
We're together. Okay. Oh, and here's the fun fact I was going to tell you.
What?
He sometimes posts on our Facebook page. His name is Mike. Hi, Mike.
And he's the one who turned you gay.
Yeah, does he know that?
Hey, do you remember me? I'm like, yes, I do.
Computer says yes.
Oh, yes.
Huh.
Okay.
Does he know that he turned you gay?
I assume he knows now if he listens to the show and posts on my Facebook page. Sean in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, I want to know what Sheldon Adelstein has on Harry Reid, that Harry Reid despises the Koch brothers and says it, and then says that Sheldon Adelstein is a good billionaire,
Adelson.
A decent guy.
Adelson. Not every Jew is named Steen.
Not
fine.
Okay. It was just a correction. Adelson. Adelson. Yeah. Adelson.
Sheldon.
Okay.
Just call him Sheldon.
All right. I just, right, it reminds me of that joke about, you know, who sunk the Titanic, iceberg, you know, to blame the Jews. You know the joke. Iceberg, Steinberg, whatever. All right.
Levin.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Okay, we get it. No. Okay. All right.
Okay. Wow. 49 minutes after the hour is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's see who tweeted. Peary Reunions tweets, I love the idea of both Alan Grayson and Representative Cummings on this new Benghazi committee. I will gladly send them both bullhorns. Because,
nice.
Yes. Well, Daryl Issa had a tendency to cut off.
His mic off.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris does that to me sometimes when he doesn't like when I'm obviously right. And then see what I'm saying? You will not be able to do that now in the future because I have a bullhorn.
I'm going to take one battery out.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
So that you can't use the bullhorn anymore.
<All right. laughs>
I know how to get the batteries out of there. You don't.
and Fred writes, my workers are going to wonder why I'm sitting here laughing to myself 3 hours a day listening to Jim's Trey Gowdy impression.
Yeah, you bet. Home Goo investigation. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Can I? Is there a drinking game whereby if he does say Shazam at least one time,
Shazam.
What do you
do? I don't think he will say Shazam.
Surprise.
And KG has tweeted that he does look like, Trey Gowdy does look like he got his head stuck in a pencil sharpener.
Yep.
Yeah. Or maybe a combine.
Depending on how he combs it.
Combines have been featured prominently on this
show. Yes, they have.
On this
both
show
the football
today.
Kind and the other kind.
Yeah.
All right. I hear that music in my head all day, by the way. By the way, just so you know, Jim is not, as usual, brilliant impressionist that he is not exaggerating that much. This is the actual Trey Gowdy.
I don't run my committees the way that the Democrats are fearful of. I want a process, Chris, that at the end of it, you are welcome to draw different conclusions from the facts. But I want everyone to say it was fair, it was exhaustive, and we know more than we did when it started.
No, we know more than we did when it started. We knew that I'm a big doofus. Well, it only been more now. You have your own interpretations of the facts, but I created the facts. Gosh, yep.
I'm just saying. It is Gomer Pyle and
Gomer
Goofy.
Pyle and Goofy.
And Goofy's
Goofy
love child,
mm-hmm.
Trey Gowdy.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's their gay love child. That's what popped out.
You can have your interpretation of the facts, but it's that.
And Gomer Pyle, of course, was gay. Jim Nabors.
Santa Lucia.
Could very easily have Goofy.
My parents saw him sing at the
wasn't,
horn.
Wasn't there a joke about Goofy?
Early 60s. Hmm? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right?
I know the punchline, I just don't know the
right,
joke.
Right.
I didn't say she was crazy, I said she was.
Yeah. She was right. Goofy.
That's, yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Jim. All right. All right, so we were just talking about Rand Paul. Did you see this? Gun rights, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Sounds going to be. Gun rights letter signed by Rand Paul takes Obama insanely out of context. This is a mailer from the National Association for Gun Rights.
Uh-huh.
By the way, do you have the right rifleman theme? Just do this. No? Oh. Inside is a fundraising letter sent by Rand Paul. Oh, look, there it is. There's the actual thing. Look at the quote by President Obama. It says, in the coming weeks, I will use whatever power this office holds to ban guns.
Oh, he just
and that's
left
like
out
in
a
ellipses
huge.
To ban guns. President Barack Obama.
Oh, God.
The quote.
Come on.
Yeah, here are the actual fun facts. The quote on the outside of the mailer comes from an Obama speech after the Newtown shootings. Obama's quote was not about banning guns. It was about engaging citizens. Would you like to hear the full quote,
yes.
Everybody? In the coming.
The Rifleman.
Okay, thank you. In the coming weeks, I'll use whatever power this office holds to engage my fellow citizens, from law enforcement to mental health professionals to parents and educators, in an effort aimed at preventing more tragedies like this, because what choice do we have? We can't accept events like this as routine.
So
nothing
like
in there about...
It's like picked every other word.
Right. Right.
I hate guns.
Yeah.
Pretty much the...
Yes, it's like he was using a bullhorn that was cutting out. That's what he said. He said, I want to ban guns. That's what he said.
How does people get away with this crap?
I don't know. It is a party, populated by the likes of...
Yup. Oh, my gosh. Yup. I say, I want this to fair process. Well, you have your interpretation of the facts. They decide to take them and know more stuff than did before. Yep. Yup. Gosh, yup.
I can tell I've just evolved into the do it again girl in my high school. Elaine Johnson was my, she used to make me do everything again. Every stupid like thing I would do in class, she'd be like, do it again.
You'd get in trouble for it.
Do it again. Right. That's all. I'm just going to keep doing it again. Do it again.
I'm so glad probably where you do everything I say. I can turn your mic off. Get started.
And then Jim gets attention because I keep making him do it again. Okay. The NBA has named ex-Time Warner chief and Citicorp exec as the Clippers interim CEO, Richard Parsons. In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Wow. Really? Shocking.
Has Donald Sterling been on tape having any comments about him yet?
Because
his friends are very, very tape recordy. Wait a minute. Oh, no, wait. We have to ship... this is the, what, third new tape recording of Donald Sterling tape by we don't... know who.
He just should stop talking on the phone.
It's just sad.
Shush now.
The girl's black. I like her. I'm jealous that she's with other black guys. I want her. So what the hell can I, in private, tell her? You know, I don't want you to be with anybody.
Sad. He needs to be
He's
in a facility of some kind.
Right. Well, you can hear the birds, right?
Yeah.
As we said. Not the Alfred Hitchcock kind, but like, you know.
Okay. They're coming to take me away.
He is someone I believe very much, obviously, in the First Amendment, make my living that way. I think that he is someone that should not say anything publicly or privately ever again.
So he shouldn't be in a remake of that.
Especially
that movie,
about his best friend, Magic Johnson. Should we replay that
bit?
Oh,
sure, yeah. Let's
do you have anyone you trust around you?
I don't give interviews. The only one that I know that I talk to is Magic Johnson.
Oh, dear.
You have talked to him?
Twice. And then,
Did you apologize?
He knew the girl, he said. He knew the girl well.
Did you apologize to him? Or?
Well, if I said anything wrong, I'm sorry. He's a good person, and he...
Uh-oh. Stop talking. Stop. Oh, no. Don't.
What am I going to say?
I don't know.
Has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so.
Oh, God.
Oh.
But... I'll say it, you know, he's great. But I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
He sounds like he should be eating pudding with a rubber spoon somewhere.
Which is why I think there's some validity when Shelley Sterling says that he may be in the early stages.
Yeah.
Or is that like just their
well,
cover,
I think,
you know?
It could be both.
Yeah,
it could be both.
Right. Barbara Walters, what off of my interview with Vista Viano about the silly rabbit, here comes Shelley Sterling now.
What does the team mean to you?
It means a lot. I've been with the team for 33 years, through the good times and the bad times. And it's my passion, and I love it, and it's my legacy to my family.
I think she has a history of being involved in all of these racial discrimination lawsuits, as saying some of the same kind of racist stuff he said. They are incredibly litigious. This is the second time she sued one of his mistresses. It doesn't smell right to me.
Wow.
And now suddenly she says, he's not racist. We have one more. He's not racist. And
I have never heard him say racial things. I don't know. It was horrible when I heard it. I mean, it was just degrading, and it made me sick to hear it. But as far as a racist, I don't really think he is a racist.
Right. I'm sure he's never said anything like that to her in the how many billion years they've been together.
Whatever.
All right. Could someone please, with a wad of Oz in their name, contact me for my final interview before I retire on Thursday?
Richard Roundtree.
I would like to interview Richard Roundtree.
Richard Wamiwes.
Oh, Richard Wamiwes. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.